tell you a very funny thing.
As Laura mentioned, we have next week, which is Memorial Day Sunday, and then we have Children's Sunday. And so this is my last Sunday of preaching here in the pulpit before we go on sabbatical. And knowing that, as I've talked to some people in the congregation, what I've heard back is, so this is your last Sunday of preaching for a while. And I said, yes. And they say, well, it better be good. So we want to make it memorable. We want to make it memorable. And so we start off with a little piece of string, and we try something here.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And what do we have? All right. There you go. All right. That's the memorable part. Okay. I did practice that once yesterday. Thanks to Jeff Provost, our resident magician, for the magic string. So, that's the memorable part. Got that out of the way. Okay. Now we get on to the message. As we can see, we have the scripture passages for this morning. There's several of them. We have them in the bulletin. And so if you just want to take a look at those, and if you just scan down, there are many, but you see that they have a common theme. And I'm just going to let you read these for yourselves. And the common theme is how Jesus dealt with self-care, with taking time away and taking the time to recenter and refresh and renew. And we could also call that how to take the best vacation you've ever had and to be able to do that every day. And what we're talking about is Sabbath. Vacation. And it's good to think about as the summer approaches for all of us, and a lot of us tend to honor that time by taking some time away. But we look at the word vacation, and it comes from the Latin word vacare, and that means to be unoccupied, to vacate, to empty. And that's exactly what Jesus does and what we do when it comes to spiritual rest. All of the scripture passages that we look at refer to Jesus doing this, and he does this in different scenarios. And as you look through these, you can see that it's not one passage in particular that kind of brings this message home, but we get the whole message from the composite of all these passages together. And so if we look at these different readings, we can see how Jesus apparently and very often would take his time. He would take the time again and again and again to regroup and reset and refresh. And we see that he did this in different ways, and he did this in different environments, different locations. But we also see that he had his favorites too, right? If we check out all these passages. And his favorite spots were, they were the mountains, they were the wilderness, and it was the water. One of the things that I love about these scripture passages is collectively how they show, they illustrate the frequency that he did this, that how Jesus, who was just incredibly productive, arguably this person accomplished more in his short lifetime than any other person in human history. And yet, we think about this, in spite of his extraordinary abilities, which surpasses anything that any of us could ever hope to do, sorry, but it's true, In spite of the extraordinary demands that were placed upon him, in spite of the incredible expectations that he must have had for himself and certainly that others had for him, and in spite of the incredibly brief timetable that he had to accomplish the impossible, reorienting entire humanity's thought process forever, and you have 3 years to do this with no technology, and your results have to last for eternity. You're poor, you have no societal connections, and this is your job. In spite of all of this, he was disciplined, as we see, in a very beautiful human way to somehow, in the midst of all of these pressures and demands, to do what? To take some time off. To become unoccupied internally, to become unoccupied with the typical day-to-day business of the world, to cleanse, to detox, to dump the old, and then refill that with fresh fuel. So, in thinking about this, we can all say more than a little thank you to God, to Jesus, to the scripture writers, you know, for including this material that can seem maybe so trivial. Oh, he went away here, he went away there, he stopped, he left the crowds. But this is included so we can thank God and Jesus for a number of reasons. First of all, how wonderful is it to have this information as holy scripture? Because, you know what, every one of us here knows exactly what it's like to feel overloaded, to feel overwhelmed, to need a break. But a lot of times at those times, you know, we think, you know, how could I possibly breathe? How can I stop with as much as I have to do? You know, what I got to do is work harder, right? I don't have time to stop. What I'm doing is too important. Or sometimes people will think things like, well, you know, if I were only spiritually balanced enough, if I were only had the gifts, I'd be able to handle even more and just keep piling it on more and more, and I'd just be the energizer bunny, right? So we have these passages, thank God, to straighten out our sometimes stupid human thinking, right? And to reorient us and to think, you know, for one thing, if this guy would run out of steam sometimes, right? What does that say about us and our finite limitations? Number two, we think about, you know, if Christ only had this 3-year window of opportunity to change the entire world, all of humanity for all time, and if he could make the time to take care of himself in the midst of this, what does it say about us? What does it say about how God wants us to live? We think about this unless, you know, of course, we're claiming somehow that our lives are more demanding than that of Christ. Or if we think, well, you know, what I've got to do is more important for humanity than what Christ had to do. Or if our schedule could somehow be busier than his, than the Savior of the world. If we're thinking these things, which we may, it's seriously time to do a mental recheck, right? And I say this because I do this myself. And I have to remind myself, you know what, Paul? If he could take time for a little self-care, for God's sake, what you're doing is not more important and critical than Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. But people, you know, we say things like, well, I'd like to take care of myself. Don't have the time, too many demands. Isn't it selfish? I was talking with somebody last night, actually, at the wedding reception. And this, it was a young man, actually, and he was saying, you know, isn't it selfish, though, to take this time for yourself? Who has time to meditate and to pray when there's so many important things going on? It's a luxury. The message here from Scripture is, from Christ himself, is it's not a luxury for any one of us. It's a central part of a healthy life. A lot of us know Jim Comey, director of FBI. Still a church member here. His family moved a little bit less than a year ago to just outside of D.C. But for the first 2 years of his appointment as the director of the FBI, pretty important position, he was commuting here for the weekends to be with his family and also to come to church. He was at church like 2-3 times a month, unless some world crisis was happening right at that very moment. And he would be in church, and I would look at him, and I would see him there, and I'd talk to him a lot, and I said several times, Jim, you know, I can't imagine the level of stress and pressures that you have being responsible for keeping this entire country, every one of us, safe from terrorism and cyber attacks and on the list goes. So I said, you know, a number of times, I said, look, I am so happy for our country's sake and for my sake that you're here with all that you have to do to be spiritually recentered and refreshed. And he would say several times, that's exactly why I'm here. We are extraordinarily fortunate to have him in his position, because just imagine having a stressed out director of the FBI. Not good. Now, I know that we have our carpools and everything, but I think that his position is pretty demanding. But he intentionally commits to a very clear faith and discipline of integrity and commitment because he realizes it's critical. And that brings us to our third blessing. And that is to notice that Jesus had a message here that, like us, he was dealing with a limited time. So he had to have a focused, effective method in order to get the greatest benefit for the least amount of time invested, the biggest bang for the buck. And the way he did that was totally pull the plug. When it comes time to pull the plug, you totally pull the plug. Quiet. Silence, give space for the things that need to settle, give the time and the space for things that need to bubble up, that time and space. Prayer, meditation, contemplation, flush out the toxins, and just soak up the good, and soak up God. Breathe out the toxins, and you breathe in God and the good. Ah, I needed that. Take the time, the space. We talk about kids being so busy these days. Oh, kids, you know, they're always so busy. They don't have time to look up at the sky and listen to the birds. Are we looking up at the sky? Are we listening to the birds? Contemplate. You take the prefix con, means to examine, to memorize, and template is a pattern. It's the template. So we contemplate, we examine the template, the pattern of God's order, the design. We download God's template and we offload the world's confusion and anxiety. And you know, anyone who's ever downloaded a new program into your computer and you're replacing an old program that has some glitches in it, that has some viruses maybe, you know that this whole process, it takes the time that it takes. You hit stop before the process is complete, you lose the whole benefit. You've got to give it the time. So number one method is designed actually for busy people. And like Jesus, the greater the need, the greater the pressure, the more concentrated the vacating, the emptying, the doing nothing you need to do, which seems kind of silly in our culture, to do concentrated vacating. And then we return to activity. And this is something, so sometimes people go, oh, you know, navel gazing, I don't need to do that. If you take any of these passages and you read what comes immediately after these things, is what you notice is that after his time of rest comes an intense period of reactivity when he comes back into the world. Now, if you look on the flip side of the bulletin insert, what you'll see is, and this is from WebMD, and you can find this all over the place, is studies now show that the methods that Jesus used have been proven to as the most effective ones out there. And you take a look at this, what the medical community is now recommending. New findings. Meditation. Breathing. Of course, being present. Valuing and participating in social network, what we're doing here, connecting, congregation, laughing, exercise. Jesus walked everywhere that he went, was constantly in the midst of exercise. We do that releases the endorphins. And then, of course, gratitude, right? The spirit of giving, the spirit of taking stock and contemplating what incredible gifts that we're able to participate in, including if we're just purely breathing, as they say, we have more right with us than wrong with us. And then in addition, you know, Jesus brilliantly adds changing the environment, the scenery, to get a different point of view. So sometimes the mountains, sometimes the wilderness, sometimes going to the sea. And the interesting thing is, you know, so of course we think travel, right? You don't have to go far. You know, Jesus didn't go anywhere in his life where he either didn't walk or take a short boat ride. And during his whole lifetime, except for the first few years, he never left Israel. Israel's about the size of New Jersey. You don't have to go far. But when he went away, he took a total break, Sabbath, rest. Taking a technology fast sometimes for a few hours, for a half of a day. You know, when the kids go on mission trips, right? One of the things that Laura does is say, okay, give me your phone. Oh my God, you think that you would be cutting off an arm or something. You know, I can't do this. You know, that's their lifeline, right? And by about the third day or so, the kids are thanking her, saying, you know, thank you so much just to be able to have the freedom to live and be a human being again. Turn off the stimulation around you. Exercise. Change the scenery. And you know, that can just be closing your eyes. Closing your eyes is changing the scenery. Doesn't cost a dime. We think about change of scenery as a vacation, you know, I mentioned. And what do we do for a vacation? It's kind of, you know, it's supposed to be freeing, but it can turn out to be a pretty laborious event, right? You know, where do I want to go? Plan the vacation. We you know, make all the arrangements. You buy your tickets. You pack your bags. You choose your things. You go to the airport. You go through all the TSA checks. You fly for hours. You rent the car. You know, maybe you check into the hotel. You're generously tipping everyone along the way. And then, you know, maybe you finally get to the beach. What do you do? You get someplace. You close your eyes, finally, and you go, ah. Now I can do nothing. Which is great, but you can't do that all the time. So option B is just cutting out everything in the middle, and you just close your eyes and you sit down and you go, ah. Without the ticket and the bags and the TSA checks and the taxis. I'm on vacation now. If you look at the list of the relaxation techniques, sitting comfortably, closing your eyes, noticing your breath, life-saving techniques, noticing the surroundings around you. You might get quiet enough to notice, to sense your own beating heart. Maybe you're at the beach and you are hearing the sound of the little waves coming in. Or you're in your backyard and there's the birds who are back from the wintertime. Or you're just out on your front sidewalk and you feel the breeze, a gentle breeze on your skin. Maybe you have a few comforting or centering passages of scripture that you've saved from bulletin inserts or ones that you just happen to like. He restores my soul. And you take the 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of your valuable time and you reorient. And you know what? Maybe you can take a half an hour. Like, whoa, now Whitmore, you're talking crazy talk now. I'm going off. How about a morning? What if you were to take a morning of a spiritual retreat at your own home? A whole morning. Sometimes we take a morning or an evening of television. A morning of spiritual retreat, okay? Does a day seem crazy? We have a weird cultural mentality. Let's think about this for a second. You can take a whole day to be sick. Business recognizes it. We have sick days. How many sick days do you have a year? Can you take a well day? What if you were to take a well day? And to conclude, let's say method number 4 of Jesus. It's important to realize that this renewal, the self-care, it doesn't happen automatically. No one is going to reach into your life. Nobody's going to reach into your life and do that for you. Nobody's going to force it upon you. Nobody is going to make you do this. You have to claim it for yourself. The good news and the bad news is you are responsible for your own self-care and for your own peace of mind and for your own peace of soul. As is with the case of any discipline, it comes with a few guarantees. The first is that in practicing it, you're going to get better. The second is, in practicing it, you're going to get resistance. You're going to get resistance from yourself. Why am I doing this? This is stupid. This is a waste of time. I could be doing other things more productive. You're going to get resistance from other people. Why are you doing this? This is a stupid waste of time. You could be doing something more productive. And because of that, you're going to be misunderstood. But as we learn from the Master, truly, when he went to take his time away, What do you think happened to the needs of those around him? Did they go away? Did they slow down? Can you imagine the resistance that he met with his capabilities, with his responsibilities, with the people who still needed to be healed? How could he? With the people who needed counsel, with the people who needed only what he particularly had to offer. What was their reaction when he went away into the wilderness? Sometimes, some things just don't get done. Even if you're the Messiah, Thank you, God. What a powerful message for us mere mortals. Beyond brilliant he was. What good are we for others if we're tired, if we're stressed, if we're not fully available? It's just not what God has in mind for us on an ongoing basis. So we have a sacred duty, all of us. And that's why Jesus did what he did. And that's why the gospel shared it. So we can go, ah. God's message for us: refresh, renew, and be healed. Amen.
God of all that has been, all that is, and all that is yet to come, we come to you today in this time of prayer to close down our minds and to open up our hearts to your presence of pure love. Our days are busy completing tasks and to-do lists, caring for children and parents and family members, and tending to the needs of family who can no longer care for themselves. And our nights are the same. And if we are not careful, we find that one day simply melts into the next day. And soon we can't remember when the last time was that we took time to simply be in your presence, God, to rest in your love, to find comfort in your strength. And there's not one of us gathered here in this sanctuary, God, who doesn't need that respite. There's not a person among us who doesn't face problems or challenges, difficult decisions or worrisome fears, all of which can be eased by our taking time to be with you. And there are no secrets from you, God. You know our hearts. You know our thoughts. And our coming to you in prayer isn't for you. It's for us. By opening ourselves to you, we release ourselves of having to be the only one in charge, of being the only one navigating our lives, of being alone and lonely in our deepest thoughts. And you didn't promise us, God, that the world would be easy. And you didn't say that there would be no problems or difficult situations. But you did promise us your mercy and your grace and your love. And you did say that you would be with us at all times and throughout all times. And you did say that your grace would be sufficient. And so it is in that spirit that we take time to be with you, to truly offer and open ourselves to you. In the hour of temptation, you give us the strength to make the right decisions. And in the times of our lives when the road seems long, you are right there with us, and you see us through. And as we sit here in the spirit of prayer, help our soul connect back to you, the giver and sustainer of life, so we may be filled with your strength and your grace and your love, enabling us to live lives that celebrate you and that celebrate and reflect your love for us all. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Redeemer. Amen.